advising on the allocation, funding allocation of the NSF and regulations. And we do reporting, which is also part and parcel of monetary evaluation. And we also liaise with CITAS, with other bodies. We do consultation with the minister and with other bodies too. What is of most important is other functions, which is very interesting. We conduct investigations on any other matter arising out of the application of the Act and exercise any other power and perform any other duties conferred or imposed on the authority by the Act. And we suppose also to be doing, the heavy prescribed powers of entry and to question and to inspect. I'll talk to that later, Chair, once we come to the structure. Now, at the outset, the fourth authority was faced with these questions to say, what is the problem we are trying to resolve? Is the low skills base of young people that makes it very difficult for them to find decent work and decent incomes? Inequality in access to skills development opportunities, skills deficit and bottlenecks, a skilled and capable workforce is critical for decent work, which is obviously the mantra and the mandate of higher education and training. Now, on the basis of the challenges that we identified, we say over and above the functions that are imposed on us by the Act, the fourth authority then decided to say we'll have about 9 objectives that will then help and guide us in executing our work. One, in terms of a review of the National Skills Development Strategy, there was a need to review the strategy. There was a need also to review the CITA landscape. How then do we also assist in terms of sharpening and reviewing the sector skills plans? The workplace-based learning policies, looking into that. We looked also on the research and the legislative review. Now, we set out number of projects that we'll have to undertake in order to achieve that mandate. The other important project and also function was the newest one, which was monitoring and evaluation in terms of white people for full school education and training. We then had to understand the framework, if the M&E framework, as well as develop a business case for the authority. We also realized that we can't do so unless we then have an enabling environment, which includes ensuring that there's a sufficient capacity. So we needed to strengthen the capacity, not only of the authority, but of the secretariat that supports the authority and all other role players in the skills development environment. We realized that for us to make sure that people understand this, we then have to have stakeholder management and therefore mobilize our stakeholders in the skills development environment and have some dialogue. One of the things that we have been noticing over the years is the lack of provincial footprints, as raised by most of the members. So it was important that in terms of the Act, there are bodies called Provincial Skills Development Forums. So they needed to be strengthened, to be guided, so as we are able to engage at the provincial level. Now, one on monitoring and liaison and reporting role, these are the things that the fourth authority were able to do. That is amongst other things. I guess we have provided the honorable members with a closer report of the fourth authority. We have provided you also with our annual report. We are not necessarily required to have annual report, but we do have a strategic plan, APP, and annual report, because we realize that for good practice, accounting practice, would rather do so even if it's not a requirement. We have also provided you with you a summary of NSDS3 evaluation. I took it that previously we have given you a 300-pager report. If that is not the case, we will forward those to Chairperson. So on liaison role, we were able to meet with the provinces and to provide support and show that they perform. There are two provinces that have actually been falling back backward time and again. That is Mpumalanga and Limpopo. So we are working very closely with those. Maybe just to explain the composition of the PSVs in short. These are the replica bodies of what NSA is. You know, all the members that comprise the NSA, you find similar kind of a structure at the provincial level, and it's coordinated from the premier's offices. That is our preference. Now, in other provinces where things are not happening, these are coordinated from either Department of Education, and it is not working. It has to be coordinated from the premier's office. And we also met with QC2O, although we have not been very strong with regard to liaising with QC2O, given that our work is vast and we do not necessarily have sufficient capacity, but we did so the previous authorities. The monitoring role, we then developed the MNE framework. We also had to work with the department, appointed what we call the CETA panel review, and this were managed by the colleagues within the department, given that we did not have a capacity to project manage. This is just to improve and ensure alignment between sector skills plans of the CETA, the annual reports, the annual performance plans, as well as their strategic plans. Ensure alignment, ensure that there is quality in terms of the documentation, but not only that, improve on implementation and governance. We also had, for the very first time, the fourth authority had a very tight schedule, beginning 2018 till the end of their term in September. They had to meet one-on-one with all accounting authorities of the cities, so that was quite tight. It's about 21 of them, and sometimes you meet them once, but then you then come across challenges, and that then leads to two or three other meetings, or even to investigation. So that's what we did. The whole idea was to say, how best can we then assist in improvement of performance and ensure that the accounting authorities indeed are accountable. And reporting, on an annual basis, we're producing what we call NSDS Implementation Progress Report. And we, for the first time, we produced what we call analysis report for a period of 5 years, because we wanted just to have the entire performance of the system in perspective. Those reports we can also forward, Chairperson. And we also collaborated with other organizations on research, but we conducted our own research, which is an analysis or rather evaluation of a five-year implementation plan, 2011 to 2016. We also produced skills conference reports, where whether it's a conference or workshops, but in the main conference reports, where we are actually calling upon all real players, right from university to NGOs in from the provinces, and engage everybody to say, this is the kind of work we are doing and what are your inputs. So it's a platform where people can come and make inputs. So those reports have been produced. This is quite small. I'm not sure whether you have presentations with you. You might have also picked this up when the department possibly was presenting previously, so I'll not really spend much time, but just to indicate to say, these are some of the work that we do in terms of monitoring what the CETAs are doing, even financially so. So given that you might have seen this through the department chair, I will not waste time on this slide. But it's of high concern to us, because once we see this, then it says, go back to the CETA and engage the CETA, say what are the issues. In terms of what I referred to earlier on CETA panel review, these are some of the thematic areas guiding us as a framework for us to improve quality of the planning as well as performance. And on this slide, which is also a bit small, it's an indication of how since 2015 up to 2018, we have seen improvement in terms of sector skills blended quality, as well as all other planning documentation. So it actually shows that it was money well spent in terms of assisting the cities. Now, with regard to the recommendations flowing from the CETA panel review, we are saying attention should be given to planning process that has resulted in improvements in the quality of plans. This must be sustained. More attention needs to be given to CETA performance, achievements of results and impact, to say it should not only attainment of indicators, but what is the impact, the kind of questions that members were actually posing to the colleagues from NSF. So those are the questions we are raising. And we are also saying we want to see more alignment between CETA M&E, in other words, the M&E structures, indicators, and those of the NSA, now that we are big into M&E. So those are the kind of recommendations that have actually come to the fore. Now, with regard to investigation role, the collaboration and the partnerships, in the past 5 years, 2014, late 2014, 2019, these are the CETAs that we investigated, which is FoodBev. There were issues around governance, and we then had to investigate in line with what the department was obviously indicated, because we received reports also from the department. The case was ultimately resolved. And WNR CETA, you might have recalled that this was one of the toughest ones, which took much longer, but it was then resolved. Now, the CETA, given the challenges that it went through, it got some qualified audits. You will then pick it up later. It is because of the kind of challenges that they had previously. And the AgriCETA, we also...
Can I make a proposal that as you go through them, just high-level summary of the investigations and the outcomes and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. As I said, with regard to FoodBev, it was a question of governance. The dispute with regard to the chairperson issues, so we then had to come in and attend to that matter. We've got to WNR CETA. There was a conglomeration of issues when the board, or yes, the accounting authority, were challenging the department and the minister on a number of issues. So the case prolonged, and it obviously led to the courts, but ultimately it was resolved. With regard to AgriCETA, it was supply chain related matter.
So challenging the minister on what?
There were mismanagement of funds. So the minister and the department would obviously intervene. But the board then took a decision to say no, they are independent, and they can then challenge the minister on those issues. Because it is sometimes their understanding that they are independent, they can make their own decision. With regard to AgriCETA, it was also allegations on mismanagement of funds, particularly the supply chain related matters. And the SIU and other investigation units were involved, but the NSA also attended to the issue. With regard to services CETA, it's a mixed bag. It's been an issue in relation to corporate governance, that is corporate governance, board issues, the dispute between certain members and the chairperson. But then later on, we also realized that there are issues in relation to the supply chain. You might have picked it up in the media space previously, and so we were in that space to assist and to investigate. On all of this, advice is provided to the minister by the authority. With regard to construction sector, it's also allegations. These could then start by either staff members who are disgruntled and not happy, and we went in and investigated. It was quite also a very intensive investigation on supply chain and mismanagement of funds. On Cheetah, this is the latest one that came to the attention of the authority in August, and we engaged. We have already appointed, given that our capacity was stretched, we then had to appoint a service provider in terms of the legal knowledge, in terms of investigation. So the new authority will then get a report and, and engage further. So this also is a governance dispute between the chairperson and other members of the authority, but in it, it also has allegations on mismanagement of funds.
Yeah, you see, I thought you were supposed to see these were the issues in here.
Yeah.
How was, where did we investigate? What was the outcome?
Okay.
Is there a report?
We can provide reports here. We can provide reports on this matter.
Because tomorrow we're starting to engage some of the sitters.
Okay.
And it would have been better just to get reports.
Okay.
So that when we meet with them, we know what are the issues. Is it in there?
Yeah, we have summary of the highlights of what was investigated in the closure report.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, running from page 41.
Page 41,
eh? Yeah. And on issues of collaboration and partnerships, like I indicated when I spoke to issues under the project, the researchers, that we collaborate, we commission research and collaborate. So we collaborated with South African Cooperation Initiative, the Swiss South African, and on TVET research on MCV. This was a TRISA study. We also collaborate with the Public Sector Trainers Forum on a number of occasions to ensure that the state also participates and are active in driving skills development. We also collaborate with South African Society for Cooperative Education. These, in the main, are the units of universities, in the main universities of technology, plus one or two comprehensive universities such as UJ. We also, at an international level, cooperate with the European Union Dialogue Facilities on dual apprenticeship training, as well as the German Corporation for International Cooperation, simply known as GIZ, on the promotion of apprenticeship.
Okay, I'm going to ask that you give us the reports of this.
Okay.
Before we meet tomorrow.
All right.
I'm sure they have concluded you can have them.
Yes.
And get them and give them to the committee secretary.
Okay. All right. All right. On issues on consultation, we consulted very comprehensively during the fourth authority, something like three times per province. And when we consult, we really request, we liaise with the PSDS to get on board all role players in skills development. And so we take charge of that through the office of the Premier. So as people are aware of what is taking place, if we are, for an example, have to develop, the department is developing a new strategy or reviewing a strategy, we engage at the provincial level, you know, move from one province to ensure that there's great participation. So we did so a number of occasions. The development of what we call now the NSDSP, which is the plan of the department, this document was engaged upon, that is for almost three and a half years, and everybody was taken along, including at the national level. We also engage with the CITAs themselves, as well as all NSA constituencies. An example, if we are going to be reviewing a regulation or even a document such as this one, we support COSATU, ISAPOC, NACTU, we go and present, and the assistance comes also from NSF to ensure that people are taken on board. And we as well call national roundtables for the experts, the technical experts. Now, Chairperson, this slide indicates, amongst others, we might be having more than this, but then key advices provided to the minister. You were earlier on talking of CETA grant regulation. So that is in 2015 when it started. Indeed, there were also complications, but ultimately the department did consult and the minister and advice was provided. And we also have CETA grant regulations continuing 2018. As it was an ongoing case, it was reported earlier on. And then we also then provide advice on NSF allocation. If there is something that we did not sufficiently do to probably, I mean, I noticed as engagements were ensuing with NSF to say, NSA focus probably will then also have to go back to NSF. Then the consultation on the development of the NSDP document started in 2016. The issues that I refer to, the footback, the ATIS chair, as well as WNR CETA. And we also do ongoing advice on appointments of CETA chairpersons, not necessarily on board members, only CETA chairpersons. And we also do some feasibility study, provided advice on what we call a center for skills development, because we then realized that there's a need to capacitate not only certain institutions, but all role players within skills development. And we provided advice on the NSDSP finally. Some obviously are ongoing. Okay, the other slide then talks to advice on the services CETA and the final advice on the services CETA and the latest one being advice on the construction CETA. The minister has actually requested the NSA to conduct the investigation into CETA, and that's why we are on that particular issue. Now, just to give you a snapshot, Chairperson, of the kind of, because this would then have, you know, the evaluation study. We said this is an evaluation study, but to some extent, it can begin to measure impact. There are about seven transformational imperatives as outlined in the NSDS. Now, we wanted to find out what extent have we progressed or made impact, for an example, on race with regard to skills development. Now, this is just a summary slide that says, in terms of race, this is quite representative of the demographics of South Africa. You have Africans at 79% who benefited in the system. And I will not actually mention all other figures because they're self-explanatory. This is across 21 CETAs as well as NSF. And for the period 2011 to 2016, almost 1.3 million beneficiaries participated in the program, in the learning programs. And for CETAs, it was about 79%, and that is Africans, and then 12% for whites, 6% Indians, and 2% colors. Now, the next slide talks to four main categories, the enrollments per learning program. You have the learnerships to say, with regard to the race, how did we fare, as well as what about gender, you know, female and male. So you see that what the NSDS intended to do from the outset, we are almost achieving that in terms of gender, in terms of race too. Now, these are the enrollments over 5 years per CETA per learning program. Now, these learning programs are for in the main learnerships, internships, skills program, and artisans. If you're looking at PCETA, the first CETA, you'll see the total number of people who benefited. It's quite small. The reason is TCTA only functions through voted funds. State is not necessarily contributing to TCTA. This does not necessarily mean state completely does not contribute. We realize that higher education, training, basic education, they contribute to ETDP CETA in certain amounts. Now, if you take note, the last CETA is Mining Qualification Authority. It actually trained more on skills program as compared to other CETAs. It does not necessarily mean that other CETAs did not do their part on skills program. This will then obviously be according to the requirements and the needs and as determined by sector skills plans. So you can go on and begin to unpack and analyze what the CETAs have done. Then next one, it will be a racial composition of enrollments across learning programs over the 5-year period. Then you get a picture of where, for an example, the blacks are in terms of this learning program. They are still in majority across all programs. You then get a picture to say, yes, there is a focus in this particular instance. But having more numbers of African people getting into the program, we need to understand where are they at? At what level are they? Now, this one talks to class. One of the imperatives is class. It then says, you still have Africans participate as much as we have eradicated literacy issues as well as numeracy issues, but unfortunately they are still trapped between level 1 and level 3 of the national qualification framework. So therefore they are not able to access probably promotional positions if they are there. So work has to be done because they started at a very, very low pace. And if you were to compare that with their white counterparts, you see it's only about 70% on level 1 to level 3. And in the main, they are almost the highest when coming to level 7 upward. It is not a good number, still a very low number, 6%. In terms of gender, 2%, that's where we are at. Our male counterparts are actually now overtaking the male counterparts now. It dispels the notion that skills and technology, you find more male. At least there's some gains. Now, in terms of geography, members have been asking questions about the footprints, where are these numbers and what is happening. You are quite correct. Those are the questions that NSA continue to ask as they engage, whether with NSF or CETAs. Now, geography says, where are these opportunities located? You'll see in terms of our demographics and population, still Gauteng will have the bigger portion of that. But then we are also saying, look at Northern Cape, the numbers in Northern Cape. Now, it then tallies with the demographics and the population rate within that particular province. Okay, then in terms of age, we intended to focus more NSEs, wanted to raise a number of beneficiaries as young people. Now, this is where we are at. Between the age younger than 25, they were about 32%. 25 to 30. So this simply means young people benefited in skills development for the last 5 years, which is about 62% of the population. And then you can then go on and check other categories. In terms of disability, indeed we have not been performing well. I heard a member make mention of this. You are quite correct. The previous strategy was actually benchmarking the percentage at about 4%. That is the NSDS2. Now it's 5%. But throughout the skills development system, there are challenges of people living with disability, and so it's something that we still need to work on going forward. Chair, just the presentation on the NSDS3 is quite massive, very interesting, having great data. But I simply gave you some snapshots just on the transformational issues. We can go on per program, what happened, and what are the employers say, what about the unemployment, so we can go on and talk, but I guess the bigger report will give you more detail. Now, in terms of some conclusions and recommendations, the strategy, which is the NSDS 3, in its implementation, has been effective in achieving a strategic shift. There was a shift, as you can see, from private provision to a more mixed approach. Before NSDS 3, it was NSDS 2, and the function was located under the Department of Labor, and we saw that it gave birth to more and more private people, lecturers leaving their positions and opening up their own private provision consultancies. Now, there has been a shift to assisting and massifying education through collaboration with TVETs and universities. From skills market that was divorced from public policy and programs to one that is more public, part of public policy. Okay. Then issues of efficiency then. The cash flow problem is resulting in inadequate level of spending of money received. You might have also noticed right from NSF to say at one stage you would not be able to spend money accordingly. So it's something that has to deal with efficiency issues, but more than that, it has to do also with capacity of an institution. You take note of NSF is actually trying to strengthen their capacity, so should the rest of the system. And the recommendations on overall recommendations from the evaluation is that there should be joint planning processes and oversight for skills development. There should be a financial strategy supporting the NSDSP, and then NSA itself should be strengthened, particularly its institutional wing, like you can see that there's few of us here. And the system has serious issues around data integrity and challenges, so we have to work on that. Hence the reason of the qualified opinion of NSF. The same sometimes happens with the CITES. We have a challenge of data. And then strengthen accountability and governance in the CITES, and then develop that. Chairperson, I try to run as fast as I can. What also one of the challenges of the authority has been managing or migrating from three ministers within this 5-year period. We have had actually three to four ministers. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Members, that is the presentation by the National Skills Authority. The intention was to get this presentation as we invite the CITES to understand the role that the National Skills Authority plays,
yes,
in relation to the CITES. So there is no requirement for you to table an annual report. We are not dealing with the annual report. So even the the Auditor General doesn't necessarily audit because you are part of the department.
Yeah.
So that's that, members. We are running. It's almost time up. What I will suggest is that we adjourn now. Basically, you have given us the framework. We might have questions. So let's deal with the CITES tomorrow and next week. And if there are issues that comes that requires that we should engage further with yourself, then we will invite you.
Yes, sir.
Honorable members, thank you very much for coming. The meeting is adjourned.